Just go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Let me present something to you this morning. I know things have been hard for a lot of people because of the times we're in. But have you ever thought about when the devil sits there in your ear and torments you about your situation? Do you torment him back? Do you? I'm just really just talking using the word, but I'm going, nothing can stop what is coming. There's only the pit for you. Don't just sit there and take it. Remind him of his future. I mean, really, I'm talking the truth here. Do you know the devils believe and tremble? They believe the word. They know. Remind them. Yeah, we're to speak the word against the enemy, but I'm talking about if they can sit there and pound you and torment you with all the problems you're having or whatever's going on, why don't you do the same? What's the scripture that says that something in destruction, thou shalt laugh. What is that scripture? Do you remember? At something, adversity or whatever, thou shalt laugh.
Famine and destruction,
thou shalt laugh. I remember Brother Hagin one time, he was awakened in the middle of the night with all the heart symptoms and all the stuff that, you know, God healed him of as a 15-year-old boy. And he said, I just started laughing. The devil said, you're not going to get your healing this time. And he said, I just started laughing. He said, I wasn't laughing in the spirit either. He said, I was just laughing. The devil said, what are you laughing at? And I said, because you're so stupid as to think that I wouldn't get healed this time. I'm already healed. And he said, the devil packed his bags and left. So whatever's coming against you, it's not, no matter what it appears, it ain't real. It isn't real. And when you know it's not real, how can you act differently when you know it's not real? As opposed to you're sitting there terrified of the evil that he tries to put into your mind. What's wrong with you, what your future is, whatever it may be. Remind him of his future. Get the focus off of you onto him. Targeting him. Reminding him. They don't like to be tormented any more than you do. Let's keep that in mind. I think it'll help us to handle things. Stay in the right mindset. It's okay. I don't need it. Yeah, it sounds like a Job. Well, I'll just go there right quick, Job, just a minute. Oh, Job. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. But thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee, and thou shalt know that the tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit the habitation, and shalt not sin. And thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in a season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know that it for thy good. Think about this scripture. Kind of goes along with Paul and the viper. He was in league with the beast. They couldn't harm him. Because that's the way it really is in the kingdom of God. There's no harm or hurt. But if you've been programmed all your life, well, this will kill you, or that'll happen because this or whatever, and so, if you believe that, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? Just think about that. That's what the devil uses against us. The very things that he says are ours, God says are ours in the Word. Come on, we need to turn the tables. Let's take a negative and turn it into a positive. And it'll make you feel better. It's like you're getting a pen and you're trying to poke him with a pen. That's fun to me. I don't want to torment anybody or anything. I can't stand to see an animal hurt or anything else. But the devil, I could do a whole lot of stuff to him. Oh, a whole lot of stuff. All right, just keep that in mind. All right. This morning, we're going to look at a couple of prophet's corners and then a short teaching. This is 8:27-23. And the title of this is Passivism. Passivism. And this is what the Lord said to me. Passivism is the downfall of the nations. Before Jesus left, he told his disciples to go into all the nations, right? Take the kingdom of God into all the nations. All right, keep that in mind. I don't need to read you Matthew 28, Mark 16. You already know what they say. All right? I did not say, this is the Lord, I did not say that only the missionaries should go. I did not say that only the apostles should go. I said for all to go. Obeying me puts my house on the rock. Disobeying me puts my house on the sand. And that's Matthew 7. Let's look at that. Matthew 7, 24. What's this about? It's about either obeying the word or not obeying the word, right? Verse 27, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. This is the same one where the gates of hell won't prevail against those. You know, talk about Peter over there. Jesus said, on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And I'll give you binding and loosing. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is right here. And it came to pass when people had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Isn't it amazing that one of the doctrines of the church is to obey the word? It says a lot about where we are, right? Passivism is the downfall of the nations. Lord's calling on the church to wake up, the virgins to wake up. Some were foolish, some were wise. This is Matthew 25. I don't know when you woke up, but I woke up in 2015. I felt like somebody had hit me with a 2x4 the day that the Supreme Court made law same-sex marriage. And then it wasn't far from that, here come the tranny thing coming into the picture. You know, Pandora's box. And then we began to see stuff that was frightening. Like, these trannies can come into the bathroom when your little girl is in there, or your little granddaughter's in there. Don't think for a minute that they're pure in any way. They're after the babies. All right, 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Why didn't they fill their lamps too? Passivism. They didn't prepare. It's like you have a whole house full of coming and you don't prepare anything. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And all, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Ever know people like that? They never prepare for nothing. And you prepare and do what's wise, and then they want to come borrow from you. I want you to pick up the slack for them too. That's what our nation has become, if you hadn't noticed. A welfare state. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." But the Lord expects us to be on our game, not just the leaders, but also the people, the individuals. You know, I got to thinking about it. They talk about how many homeless are veterans, actually. They have no place to go, no place to live. Well, you know, that's what he's going to judge us on here. You know, you saw me hungry, did you feed me? You saw me sick, did you take care of me? You know, these kind of things. If we're all doing what God tells us to do, I believe if the whole body would do that, I believe all areas would be taken care of. That's one thing that's close to my heart, is seeing that the veterans never have to pay another dime of taxes, that they have a shelter to live in. They're cared for what they did, because a lot of them maimed their life to go and fight, usually on foreign soil, to keep us safe. All right. The Lord continues, "Do not allow your trouble to cause you to become passive." You know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. "I will separate the sheep from the goats." The sheep do, the goats don't. They may mean well, but if you don't do well. "Sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Goats, on the other hand, are hard-headed and like to do their own will, not mine. You will know them by what they say." Instead of going, they always have a but. "But you know, I'm busy today. I've got this going on, that going on, that going on." You know, that's the kind of but, you know. "But, you know." Isn't that the truth? All right, let's go over to Judges chapter 6. But God... It's like Ted Nugent. Amber was saying, "I just love him." I noticed his wife has a show. Yeah. A podcast. And he said, he was on an interview somewhere, and they said, "What have you got to say to the American people?" He goes, "Bah! Bah!" Not only he could get by with that. All right, let's start with verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Amalekites came up, and the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and have drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods and the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. They become passive. And there came an angel of the Lord, sent unto an oak, which was an Oprah. Then pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. It's all the Lord's fault. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Sorry, sack Christian. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. How'd this end up? Well, he ends up, God graces him to do it, and he accomplishes it. He went from pitiful to powerful. Blaming God for situation. Why did you bring me here? What am I doing here? Ever do that? It's not good. No, he's told us to go. You go. I've empowered you to go. But sitting around thinking about it, I don't empower you to do that. I empower you to go. That's what he's telling Gideon. Well, you get up and go. What are you blaming me for? See, I'm concerned for our nation, and I don't like to even use that word really, but if we do not get it, especially as the church, that God is set to deliver us, but if we do not follow him and do what he wants us to do, we'll end up like Gideon. See, they're just... See, the heart motives, that's later, I'm going to talk about motives. God, this is where we're going in the future, is your heart motive. This is what's going to be the judge of your life, is your heart motive. God sees your heart. He knows which of you are for him and who are not. He knows those that are ready to, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And I trust you to give me the grace to do it. Or either... No, I just want to sit over here. I just want my check every month. So even this new system that's coming, and I'm, like I said, I don't know all about this system, but I know that motive is going to be key. Motive. And this is the part of it that I believe God is in. Motive. Did it do those people coming out of Egypt any good to give them all the things that God gave them? If they were just going to be lazy and just take life, eat, drink, and be merry? Until their enemy showed up. You wonder why Israel was always over and over and over again going into exile? It's because God gave them the land and said, It's yours. Now go take care of it. Just like he's told us, here's the commission. Go do it. Nothing's changed on that front. God has given us the land. But we have to be not passive, but aggressive. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That is what we have to do. And speaking about what I spoke about earlier, about letting the devil know where his future is, instead of him always trying to tell you what your future will be, you tell him about his future. Always. Keep it on him. Don't let him terrorize you. Keep it on him. See, that's part of taking the kingdom. That's part of our heritage. That's part of what he told Gideon. Rise up in the power of your might. Go, I'll be with you. That's what God's saying to you. But if you let the devil beat you down and you just get to where I don't even want to get out of bed, you're walking by your feelings. You're not walking by faith. Well, you know what we sang this morning? Walk by faith, take the land. We don't just sing these things, just sing these things, do we? Do we really, are we really taking them to heart? What do you think? Oh, it's the same old song. We've sung it for years. You know, that's passivity. It's dangerous. Just like the virgins that fell asleep, they weren't ready. Their lamps weren't full. Their lamps weren't burning. We are the light of the world, right? You know why the enemy does what he does? He wants to stop you. Because he knows you got the goods. But if he can convince you that you don't, and if he can take you through his spook house and get you all upset, then he says, I got them right where I want them. So I said to you last night, it ain't real. I have to practice what I preach too. I don't just tell you, expect you to do it, and I don't have to do it. But you know what? It's a choice here. Either you're going to listen to the devil and his lies, or you're going to say, no, this is the way it is, and this is what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter. All right, the Lord continues. Do not allow your trouble to cause you to become passive. I will separate the sheep from the goats. I read that while ago. I'll read it again. Sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Goats, on the other hand, are hard-headed and like to do their will, not mine. You will know them by what they say. But I, instead of going, they always have a but. And this is my thoughts on Gideon. Gideon is whining here to the angel that why has God done this to us? It's your fault, God. No. He never promised him a rose garden. He said, here's this land. And just like Keith Moore said, but there's six hairy demons over there that you got to kick off. It's yours. Go conquer it. Joshua, the angel says, go. Go kick them out. Go occupy. I believe this is where we are today. So many Christians griping and complaining and boycotting everything. Just like the children of Israel, just like Gideon. The Lord is saying to his body to stop it and go. Quit looking at yourself and your situation, how you feel. Feelings like Urkel. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. That's what it's about. Your five senses. You're letting your five senses dictate to you your life. Matthew 6:33, what does it say? I've probably quoted it 1,000 times. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amplified says his way of doing and being right, then all these things taken together will be given you besides. See, Lord said, go do what I told you to do, and there'll be a reward at the end of this. That's how it works. I was trying to tell Amber that, you know, with the Jeep. I said, well, you made a decision to do what the Lord wanted you to do. I said, it's a difficult journey, but I said, there are perks. And when the Lord blesses you, you know, anybody can bless you like the Lord can. You know what I'm saying? All right. Judges 7 here. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Let Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim it in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. You know what? Give me two or three that are fearless. One can put 1,000, two, 10,000, three. Oh, Lord. You old scaredy cats, y'all go back on home. And the Lord said unto Gideon, there's nothing worse than fear. It's a crippler. The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. You know, this movement's been likened unto the 300. The Truther movement. Those that are, you know. And all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, we don't go with the crowd. We ain't going with the crowd. They all do it this way. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into their hand. Let all the other people go every man into his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, their trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. You know, it's not about numbers. It's about those that are sold out. Fearless. Love to torment the devil. Don't let him get a foot in on them. Because he uses the same old tactic over and over and over. It's all lies. It's like Phil said the other night, these pictures, these mugshots are all fake. And there was somebody came back later after that said they had worked in that industry where they, you know, do photos and things. And he said, every one of them are fake. They're not real mugshots. They're cutouts. The devil's a fake. And you're the only one that can make what the devil says become real. Think about that. I'd be real careful about the words I said, even in a flippant moment, even under pressure. Make those words count. Don't be a saying what you don't want. Don't be a saying your fear. Job, the very thing I feared has come upon me. Why? Because you got a big fat mouth. That's why. Your mouth was not made to cause calamity. It was made to cause God's way and God's will for you. People live and die and never get a hold of them. Well, God gives God this, God that. No, you! Your mouth! Death and life, power of the tongue. Death and life, power of the tongue. See, the devil knows that all this garbage about food and diet and medicine. This is all sent to ensnare us because he knows he saw God create. I believe it. Light be, light was. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. There's where the power is. And if he can steal that, comes to steal the word. We see it all across the world. The devil's come to steal the word in any way he can. I don't care what podcasters he uses to try to discredit the word of God and steal the word of God. That's all the devil cares about. All right, let's keep going here. Nothing has changed as far as God is concerned. This is Numbers 33:55, and I've read it to you many times. We're going to read it again. And it applies to us too. We'll read all of it. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Your life of living hell? Guess what? There it is. Prickly. Prickly. Like living with a cactus. Let's put it in perspective today. It's the absolute truth. Did Jesus already strip the devil? Colossians 2:15 says he disarmed him. All he's got is his wagging tongue. His bag of tricks. Gideon didn't have an excuse, and neither do we. We can't point a finger at anybody but ourselves. All right, we are the enforcers of God's will. This is Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to force your way through his encampments. Infiltration is what it's called. The early church, we see a lot of it in the book of Acts, of their infiltration. Jesus told them to go before he went back, that they were to go and occupy. So that's what they started to do. And they did it by infiltration. They started going into the Gentile nations, some to the Jews, some to the Gentiles, to bring this new gospel. The good news. All right. The devil's minions are behind our leaders and systems, and so we must effect change, even if it is one person at a time. I mean, Danny had a word about we need to hear by the Spirit, because a lot of times in these things there's layers. And so sometimes you have to maybe start at the top, work your way down to get to the root. I don't know exactly how. I don't forget exactly what the word said, but it was about let the Lord tell you what to speak and what to speak to, because that, when you take out something like that, you know, we want the whole thing to come down. Okay. One of these ways is praying for our leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. Why? It says, so we can live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness. Isn't that what we want? We want a quiet and peaceable life. We want to be able to enjoy our life. Well, see, this is where this lies in these leaders, and these are where these satanic strongholds have been built up under these leaders. And if we bypass griping about our leaders and pray for our leaders instead, let God give us wisdom to take leaders out like we did at the court in Midland and how we did at the state capitol in Texas. Take authority over the 17 counties of the Permian Basin, over Fox. This is very powerful and very effective. So just think about it, if you got the whole church doing that. See, he's given us the land and we have to conquer it. And he's made us more than a conqueror, right? He's given us the plan. If we'll just stop long enough to hear it, then he'll give us what to speak. As he changed the circumstances when he saw the earth the way it was, and he spoke light, be light was, and then began to create, we're creating our own new world. It's the kingdom of God. Everybody thinks it's just going to usher in, everything's just going to be bam, and there it is. No, it's not. I don't know how many generations it's going to take just to get people all on the same page with going with the Lord. This is going to take a while. I can see why the rain is 1,000 years, because it's going to take some years to do this. I wish it just could all be bam. But no, we got a lot of work ahead. Let's be practical about this. Just because you're spiritual don't mean you're all kooky. The body of Christ has to be retrained. First of all, you're not going to sit on that bench and be passive. Everyone has a part. Every single believer has something God wants them to do. That's why I talk about find your lane, get in your lane, stay in your lane. Don't criticize somebody else in their lane. If you got to put blinders on like they do horses to keep them going straight and not messing with the other horses, then do so. But that's what we need to do. And don't receive any criticism from them, because they're not in your lane and they don't know. You say, the Lord's told me to do this, and I ain't leaving my lane till the Lord says to. It'll keep you out of trouble. So this is the walk of faith, not the sprint of faith or the step at a time. And when you get the first step right, then it'll give you another one. Now, you know, most people don't stay long enough. We've seen ministers come in and out of this area. All went back to Dallas. I'm thinking, what's so great about Dallas? It's liberal, I guess, because it, I don't know. But the point is, it's too rough out here for them. Go on, you sissies. I don't care. Go on, you sissies. People that live out here know it's tough to live out here, and they develop a hard shell so that they can stand and plow this old hard ground out here. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Go forward. Well, you know what the devil did to me? Paul said, I want to teach you so much more, but you're just babies. I want to give you meat, but you won't even be, you can't even take the milk. You're choking on the milk. I'm not belittling anyone or anything. You have to understand, other people will hear this. All right, let's keep going. If every leader was born again, boy, talk about how much easier this would be. I at least saw yesterday, Amber sent me a text of, I forget how many states have stood up and said, there'll be no mandates here. Texas is one of them. I'm thinking, good for you. I figured the ones that'll really have the problem will be the blue states. Anyway, we need to pray for the blue states, that they become red states. Blood of the Lamb, red states. Not rhino, red states. All right. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We got to do our part. Whatever he says to you to do it. We have to be like Jesus when his mom said, whatever he says to you, do it. Because he's saying, Mom, what am I supposed to do about this? You know I can't do anything the Lord, unless the Lord says something. She said, whatever he says to you, do it. And sure enough, the Lord told him what to do. All right. Go to John chapter 2. That's what I was just telling you, the marriage. They ran out of wine. But the Lord didn't just give them enough to get through. He gave them enough, the best wine, where they probably could sell it. Because in the Israelites, they don't work the first year they're married. They get to know their wife or husband. So here they have would have provision for the whole year. That's how God works. Not just scraping by. That's not God's will. All right, let me look at some scriptures here. 1 Peter 2. 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Yeah. See, we have to have the same mindset that we're willing to endure the hardness to do what God's called us to do. That's what Jesus did, and we're to follow in his footsteps, right? Okay, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. I quoted this to y'all earlier. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, you have the say and the keys, which is the say, I believe. It's just letting the Lord tell us what to say in the situation. Passive, this is what it means. Receptive to outside impressions or influences. In other words, if all situations are not favorable, it's kind of like Ecclesiastes talking about don't observe the clouds or you won't sow. It's basically saying, you know, right here that if you don't feel good that day or something don't look good that day, then you don't do nothing or whatever. In other words, you do what you do based on how you feel instead of what God says, I want you to do this. You're ruled by your emotions, your feelings, your five senses. It also means lacking energy or will, lethargic. All the virgins fell asleep. All of them. Tending not to take an active or dominant part. Just kind of stay on the fringes, kind of let them do it. Not active or operating. Why do you think that we, with much tribulation into the kingdom of God. These are Satan's deterrents. Are they working on you? His deterrents? Are they working? Inert. Inert. These are all what it means to be passive. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, since when does feelings have anything to do with it? Doesn't? Not at all. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. We got to find out what the Lord's will is for us. Get in it and use his grace to do it right here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So for whatever he calls you to do, the faith that's required will be given you to do it. So you're not to think too highly of yourself because you're not doing it in your own steam. You can't. You'll burn out. Yeah. That's the problem of ministers burning out. You know, did they get God's will or did they just come out here on a whim? Because I'm thinking, if God sent you out here, why aren't you still out here? Yeah. Okay. When we start working as a whole body again, we will be able to get much accomplished. But now with some parts working and others not working, it is difficult. It's like dealing with a paraplegic. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Like I said, nobody has a right to accuse another minister or gripe about them or fellow brother and sister as far as that goes. Because if you're not walking where they are, how can you know the whole picture? You know what I'm saying? They may not know as much as you, but they may not be required to know as much as you, depending on what God's called you to do. That's a good thing to remember, and that way you're not constantly criticizing everybody, critiquing everybody, especially maybe when they're not even in your sphere of influence. All right, this is 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. That's what happens when somebody gets in the pulpit and they begin to bash all these other leaders for what they're doing and that it's wrong. That ain't right. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, God's placed them in the body as he sees fits. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? So you can't do it on your own. Nobody's an island. If I'm an eye, I can't hear. Where were the smelling? If the whole were hearing, where were the smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. See, this is the goal. This is where we're going to come to. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it, instead of being jealous. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily apostles, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues? Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Then he goes on to talk about the love walk. See, love will honor every part of the body for what they're called to do. And if they're not doing what you're doing, they're not to be criticized. They just don't have what the grace to do what you do. They have the grace to do what they're supposed to do. So we need to be careful with that. I have to particularly be careful with that because I see so much stuff I want to correct. But I think 17 counties. I'm blind at 17 counties. And God's given me a voice, Faith Avenue, to do that. If he had listened to all the people that said things to discourage me, or if I had listened to all the people that had said things to discourage me throughout my whole life, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But I'm thankful for the last 9 years we've been on the backside of the desert like Paul, learning his ways. And now I don't care. He just took all of that out. Like, if you don't like me, I'm sorry. But I'm not changing. So that's the way we have to be in the body of Christ. Love each other. Defer to one another. Be kind to one another. But, you know, you stay doing what you're supposed to do. If that heart is pumping and it's doing what it's supposed to do, the other parts of the body don't come and infringe on that. That's the way we have to look at it. The only thing that I care about is I want to hear the Lord at the end of this say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's what I want to hear. All these others that have criticized and stood against me and all of those things, I just say, "Lord, forgive them, help them if you can." They just didn't understand. They don't understand. And they didn't understand. And see, that's what I'm hoping, that whenever the church begins to be taught correctly, then they will all understand. And we'll all be able to flow like we're supposed to. And it will be the kingdom of God here. It will be in total manifestation. I mean, you can eradicate all the evil right now, but you still got to deal with the strongholds in men's minds. They've got to be changed. All right. Psalm 75:6. "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is a judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another." So right there, that's the only one you answer to right there of what you do or don't do. Right there. Nobody. Not preacher called, daddy called, whatever. "Well, grandpa's a preacher, I'm a preacher." No. It don't work that way. It's what God says you are. He's a promoter. He'll train you, and then he'll cut you loose and say, "Okay, now go do what I've trained you to do." All right. We're all called from our mother's womb. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. "No, Lord didn't call me to do nothing." Bull. Go. A few more scriptures here. I'm just going to tell about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I mean, read about it. I was thinking about the story of Joseph and how all the stuff he went through with his brothers persecuting him and the evil that they did to him and all the many years that he was sold several times. If you read the book of Jasher, I think it was 3 or 4 times different groups bought him, traded him off. Because angels would, stuff would happen to him because they had him and had him. So they'd sell him off to somebody else and to somebody else. Because God was with him. God orchestrated living in Potiphar's house. He orchestrated him being in the jail. But God was grooming him for greatness through all that hardness to forgive his brothers and to stand in a place to save his brothers. I'm sure he didn't understand all of that in the process, but he came to that conclusion. And God exalted him to the highest place. And he had a good life after that. So see, that's what God wants for us. He was promoted from his adversity, from the prison to the palace. They go hand in hand. All right.